The scripture reading for this morning will be Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 34. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world."
Good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning. For those who are visitors, we're thankful that you have chosen to attend with us this morning. Please don't rush out after services. We'd like to get to know you a little bit more. Note that I'm not the regular preacher. I passed my first test because there were no amens there. But we're in the process of hiring a new minister. I believe here very shortly the elders will make that announcement as far as where we're at with hiring a new minister. So if you're visiting, only know that the quality of preaching can go up from here. My name is Zach Tennyson. My wife and I and our family, we have served here with the Glenpool Church a little over 5 years. And when I thought back on that, preparing this lesson, I did not realize it had already been that long and how time flies. My normal day job is a home builder, and upon graduating from college, which I won't talk about that because then all of a sudden we'll get some amens and boos there, I graduated with a construction management degree, and from there I went on to work for one of the largest contractors in the state of Oklahoma. I was there 15 years, and we were a large contractor. They have offices spread out from New Mexico to Tennessee. I'm going to talk about the contractor a little bit this morning. We'll not use their name, and that will come up here in a minute. But that particular company I worked for, I learned a lot and spent a great deal of time there. And we always focused in construction on safety. It was one of our biggest focus is we won numerous awards for being safe. We wanted contractors to go home safely at the end of the day. And while I was there for 15 years, we had numerous programs that came out. Things where we had a big stop sign that said the word stop and think on it. And before every action, stop, think, what are you about to do? There were other policies that we rolled out along the years. If you break this rule, you're going home. You're suspended for X amount of days. You can't come back to the job site. So more policies with punishments. So we had some punishment policies. We had catchphrase policies. We were safe. We won awards. However, people continued to get hurt on our job site. A few years ago, the company decided to change the safety culture. We needed to do something different. The catchphrases weren't working. The punishment wasn't working. And so the company selected 10 individuals. I was one of the lucky individuals selected. There was two individuals from each office, and they sent us down to Austin. They hired a consultant to come in and give us a week-long talk, a training. We want a new culture. We want to change our culture from a policing state, if you will, a state that if you don't do this, you'll get in trouble, or the only way to do said activity is in this manner, to a culture where we wanted people to do safety right. We wanted people to perform their task right. We wanted them to think about it. I changed the name here, so we're going to use the word company. The culture was called Company for Life, and it was a culture that, along with 9 others, we traveled throughout the country teaching it. I went to Washington, D.C. and received more training. That was one of the hardest things to do, was to run a project, a multi-million dollar project, and then in the middle of the project take off and go for 2 or 3 days to Austin or Houston and provide training. But our company was willing to spend time and energy and effort and money into it. Our company went to a great length of actually telling people, you have to stop what you're doing today, shut the job site down, and go to training. Because we believe that this culture, this change of attitude, is something that everybody needed. So the word LIFE stood for Live Incident Free Every Day. And that came from wanting the individuals to go home. If you came to work with 10 fingers, we wanted you to go home with 10 fingers. We even took it a step further. If you came to work with no scratches, we wanted you to go home with no scratches. We were able to reduce the injuries of the guys out in the field working, who were working with heavy equipment, were on high rises, cranes, backhoes, dozers. We still never could get to the office people because they kept getting paper cuts. And that was one thing that we can't figure out is those guys. But live incident-free every day. There is somebody that is depending on you. My case, I have a small family. We only have 4 kids. And so we have children relying on that income. Come home. The way you do that, the way that you live incident-free every day, is with a tool. We're in construction. We use tools. Those tools are the 4 R's. The 4 R's were something that we put in our tool bag. We actually had a little card made that you put in your safety vest. And as a reminder, you could look at it. But the 4 R's are do it right, reach out, raise your voice, recognize a hazard. Each one of the R's had phrases behind them. For an example, do it right. A phrase was know and use safe work practices. Or reach out, listen, seek, ask questions, form relationships. Recognize the hazards. What are we accepting? And so as we went through our training, as we traveled around, we got to the point where we were also bringing in trade contractors to meet with us. And these were 4-hour classes. And the 4 R's is what took up most of our day. We would sit down and we would drill down. What does it mean to do it right? What does it mean to recognize the hazards? I worked for that company for 15 years. Construction is not an easy place to work. There are a lot of egos, a lot of stressful, long stressful hours, tight deadlines, budgets had to be made, scheduled deadlines had to be met, and it was a grueling job. But I will say one thing, following all of our 4-hour presentations, and over a 2-year period, I think my partner and I, we did about 30 of these, was the most conversations I had about Jesus following these presentations. Somebody come up to me, man, that sounds familiar. It's morally right. We're talking about just doing things morally right. Don't cut corners. Do it right. If you see a problem, if you see a coworker struggling, reach out to them. Be a human. And as I was asked to teach this class, I thought that they asked me to do it later because of my first name being a Z and close to the end of the alphabet. I think that they realized that, hey, by the time we get to Zach, we better hurry up and hire a preacher. As I was thinking about this culture kept going through my mind. And why not, church? Why not use it as Christian for life? So today is not going to be an in-depth study. Today is not going to be we're going to look at some of these points. We're going to go back to basic fundamentals. So in our Christian for life, live incident-free every day. So why do we want to do that? Let's go back to our scripture reading. So if you could, please turn with me to Matthew 25. We're going to start in verses 31. We're going to read 31 through 34, and then we're going to hit verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all of His holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you blessed, O my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now let's skip down to verse 41. Then He will say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Church, at the end of the day, we want to go home. And we're talking about not our brick and mortar houses right now. We're talking about to our Heavenly Father, our heavenly home. And so in order to make the heavenly home, while we are here in our earthly body, we must live incident-free every day. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But we can strive to do better. We can strive to, if we come to work today with 10 fingers, that we can go home to our Father with 10 fingers. We are going to get bumps and bruises, and we're going to get paper cuts. But we can only learn from those and overcome them. So the question then is, how do we ensure that we are a sheep and not a goat? How can we ensure that we live incident-free each and every day? That is with the four R's. So let's get started with our four R's. And I'm going to tell you right now, the only way I know to preach, and it might be right, it might be wrong, but it's with Scripture. I will have a few comments this morning, but you better have your Bibles and your phone apps ready, because we will be flipping through them. And using Scripture to prove our point on what the four R's are from a biblical standpoint that are going to help us go home at the end of the day. So the word, do it right. Our catchphrase there is, every task, every day, you choose to do it the right way. This past summer on Wednesday night, we went through a series called Wearing the Characteristics of a Christian. Remember those? We looked at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And what did it mean to wear characteristics of a Christian? Well, let's go look at Colossians chapter 3, if you don't mind. In my study, I feel that Colossians chapter 3 gave us a good example of what it meant to do it right. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Remember, put on, wear. We want to wear this. We want to put on this. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called to do in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. So who are we? What are we told here? We're told that we are the elect of God. We are holy and beloved. So what are we to do? How do you perform your task? What would make a task easier? As a construction worker, if you are a carpenter, you have certain tools. If you are a concrete foreman, you have different tools. If you're a mason, you have different tools. We're all Christians. So what are we to wear? What tools are we to put on here? We're to wear tender mercies. We're to have kindness. We're to be humble, have meekness, be long-suffering, bear with one another, forgive one another, And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. The word bond here comes from the Greek word xontimos, which means a joint, a tie. That is a ligament, a uniting principle. It's a band, it's a bond. Whatever we do, we must do it with love. Be kind to each other, but do it with love. Forgive one another with love. Bear with one another for love, with love. We're not perfect, but we can strive to be perfect. We can strive in our daily walk of life to do it right. Every task, every day, you choose to do it the right way. We have that free will that we can make the decision to do it right. Paul goes on to write in verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And in verse 17, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it's easy to do it right. It is easy to be kind, to have tender mercies, to bear with one another, to forgive one another, if we let the peace of God rule in our heart, if we let Christ dwell in us richly, and if we are constantly in communication with the Lord through prayer. Every task, every day, choose to do it the right way. Moving on to the next one, reach out, listen, seek, ask questions, form relationships. This is a little tougher. It involves us talking to other people. It involves us interacting with other people. Doing it right is something that we can do ourselves internally. Now we're having to actually do something. We're having to interact. There are two ways to reach out. One, if we are personally struggling. If we have something that is holding us down and we need to reach out, we need to seek solutions. That might mean we have to admit our own fault. We might have to admit our own shortcoming. That's tough. Number two is, what if we see a brother or sister who is struggling and reaching out to them when they haven't approached us? We don't want to be overbearing. But what does Scripture say? How should we reach out? Seeking. Proverbs 11:27 states, he who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Colossians 3:1 says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So first of all, when we reach out, let's reach out for the right things. Let's reach out for those things that are good. If you seek evil, you will find evil. I know when I turned 16 and got my driver's license, Mom and Dad always used to say, nothing good happens after dark. Don't go seek evil. That was true if you were out running around, and that was also true if you came home too late. Nothing good happened at home. You got caught. Jason probably knows more about that than I do. So seeking. Seek those things which are above. Seek the things that are good and holy. Ask questions. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. John 14, verses 12 through 14, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. The Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The first step to reaching out is prayer. It's not that hard to pray. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes we forget to pray. If we make a habit of seeking, if we make a habit of reaching out, forming the relationship with Christ, asking questions, seeking what is good, we'll be on our way to fulfilling the reaching out. Going back to our scripture reading this morning, as you see at the top line up there on reach out, the last thing is form relationships. Once again, in construction, that was always one of the hardest things to do. Your electricians were over here, your plumbers were here, your sheetrockers were here, and that was a constant battle. I found out that electricians and plumbers don't like each other. Sheetrocker didn't like either one of them. The only time a plumber and electrician would work together is if it was to conspire against the sheetrocker. And you had to try to form relationships. So I went to a job one time to help out for 6 weeks, and I walked in, and the superintendent said, "Oh, man, am I glad you're here." I said, "Well, what do you need me to do for 6 weeks?" And he called two people in. He called the plumber and the sheetrocker, and he introduced me to both these guys. And I've gone on and done several jobs with both of them. And the superintendent looked at me and he says, "They don't like each other. I don't like them. Not the three of us are talking. We're not getting anything done. This is your job for 6 weeks." So I quickly had to form a relationship. But what kind of relationship as a child of Christ are we to form? Let's go to Matthew 25, and we're going to read verses 35 through 40. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food." Now remember, he has separated out the sheep and the goat, right? Sheep on the right, goat on the left. The sheep have inherited the kingdom. And he says in 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Would we all agree that we're called to be Christ-like? Would we all agree that that is the way we're supposed to walk in life? Mark chapter 2, verse 16, we see Jesus eating with the tax collectors and the sinners. And when questioned by the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus stated in verse 17 of Mark chapter 2, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Church, we need to form relationships with those who struggle, those who are in need, those who are thirsty, those who are in prison. That is what we are called to do, is to reach out and be the children of God and form a relationship with those who are in need the most. Christ spent time with tax collectors and sinners, converting them. Not partaking in what they did, but converting them. And that is what we are called to do. If you struggle reaching out, start by praying. Start by seeking. Listen. When somebody comes and talks to you, listen. Form relationships with those who are in need. Not only will this be a help to you, it will be a help to them. Raise your voice. Speak up. Do not be afraid to speak up. So what you have done, what have we done this morning? So far, we have sang songs, we have prayed. That's part of speaking up, rejoicing and singing and praying. Psalms 98:4 says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises." Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I could spend the rest of the morning flipping through the book of Psalms and reading verses that say rejoice, or that say shout, or that say sing. But as we know, it takes 150 Sunday nights to get through the book of Psalms. And I don't think we had that much time this morning. What does Paul tell us in Philippians chapter 4? Let's flip over to Philippians chapter 4. Remember, we're supposed to be speaking up, raising our voice. So Paul here writes a thank you note to the believers of Philippi. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Let the gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your request be known to God. How do you do that? By speaking up through prayer, through supplication, with thanksgiving. Raise your voice to God. We used to tell the guys that would go through our training class that we are not your wife. We cannot read your mind. So if you have something on your mind, you're going to have to speak up, because we're a bunch of men. We don't have that ability to see what you're thinking. And guys would start speaking up. And it was always great to see them being able to reach across the trade lines, as what we called it, reaching out to one another. And when you speak up, it not only helps you, it helps those who are around you. We had a gentleman who, we were doing an early morning pour. It was about 2 in the morning, and we were on a high-rise building. I was in Stillwater. And we had a plumber find a big safety problem, and he came running. I was doing a pre. It was 2 in the morning. I'm sitting around my conference room table with the concrete guys, and we're doing a pre-morning checklist. And he comes in. We stop what we're doing. We go out there. That one guy speaking up saved the lives of many, because he found a safety issue. We could have fallen 3 floors to the ground, but he spoke up to help the rest of us. And that is the way we need to be, is we need to raise our voice. We need to be willing to speak up to save those who are around, who we surround ourselves with, or who we come in contact with. Paul also goes on here to say, do it right. Pursue what is good. Right in Philippians 4:4-9, pursue what is good. That is a do it right. Raise your voice. Rejoice, pray, and everything give thanks. Then he adds our last R, recognize the hazard. Abstain from every form of evil. Recognize the hazard. Look what could harm one person, what could harm many, now and in the future. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 16 through 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, by which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wraths, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that you also practice such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what are the hazards? We receive a list of them there. Adultery, fornications, hatred, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, envy, murders, drunkenness. What are the hazards? What are the consequences of the hazards? Verse 21, we see those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Going back to Matthew chapter 25, you are a goat, right? You're set on the left side. Matthew 25, 33 says, who does not inherit the kingdom of the God. Paul goes on to say in verse 26 down here, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. How do we avoid such hazards? Paul gives us that answer in verse 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh, which is passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. We read a list earlier, right? Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. That list is similar to what we have here in Galatians 5, 22 through 24. Walk in the fruit of the Spirit with joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Bond all that together with love. Do it with love. Church, sometimes seeing the hazards is the toughest thing. We don't always see the trees through the forest or the forest through the trees, right? Recognizing a hazard might mean a sacrifice. And when I opened up my lesson this morning, I stated that I currently am a home builder, and I stated that a lot of this information as far as the training came from a company that I worked for 15 years. I was able to do some nice big projects, drive by them and show them to my kids. But over those 15 years, one of the best things that company had me do was train in this course and teach this course. And I don't think it was to help those go home safe at the end of the day. I think it was to help me go home at the end of my life. You see, it was about a year ago that I hit a brick wall. And some of you in here know it. I talked with some of you. I reached out. It wasn't going good. I remember driving home and pulling over on the side of the road and calling Ben and sat there for 45 minutes and bawling my eyes out. I went home. And Rachel and I locked the door to our bedroom and we talked. I was struggling, church. I was coming across hazards. And it was that day that I decided that I don't need to go for selfish ambitions. And that I don't need to try to be some big wig in a company. What did I need to do? I need to be a better father, a better husband, a better Christ-like servant. See, I recognize the hazards, and thank the Lord it wasn't too late. Am I perfect today? No. Do I have a long ways to go? Yes. But over the last 12 months, my life is getting better. I am working harder at not having outbursts of wrath. It's not always easy working in a construction company, is what we were led to believe. However, I met a man and we created a company. And one of the things I said, I will only go into business with you if we can create a culture where we work with people that are like-minded like us. People like Joshua Harris, who you can work with day in and day out, who you know is going to do you something ethical and right. And I talked to one of my former colleagues earlier this week, and he said, how's it going? And I said, Sean, it's wonderful. Do you realize I have not argued with a single person since June? I have not yelled at anybody. He said, Zach, he said, I'm struggling. He said, told me a story about going back and forth between the doctor and went into the doctor, and he said, they told me to change my job. My blood pressure was 200 and something over 100. I mean, he said, you are going to die in 3 years if you don't change. I said, Sean, I had my blood pressure taken back in December. And the lady said, man, that's perfect. And it was the first time in a long time that somebody said, your blood pressure was perfect. Our time is coming to a close this morning, but I want to end with one final message. Let's look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, the parable of the lost sheep. And the one thing I want us to look at this morning is notice the four R's are in here. Okay? Luke 15, 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke the parable to them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 into the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when it is found, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls his neighbors together, all of his friends, all of his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Do it right. We have a task. We have people relying on us. Each and every day, do your task the right way. Reach out. In this parable, what do we see Jesus doing? Once again, he is eating with sinners. He is forming relationships with those. In our story, who is the shepherd seeking? The lost. Raise your voice. Rejoice. Call your neighbors together and rejoice. When you have turned your life over to Jesus, when you have a fellow friend who has been converted, rejoice. Give all thanks and glory to God. Praise. Recognize a hazard. Repent and turn away from those things which are keeping us from the Lord. There is no greater joy, this says here in verse 7, than when somebody recognizes the hazards and has decided to turn away from those hazards that are keeping you from the Lord. I know that this was not some deep, profound message this morning. Church, it was a message that helped me. It helped me a year ago, and it's helping me today, and it's going to help me tomorrow by trying to live my life with the four R's each and every day. If there's anyone here this morning who could use the prayers of the church or who would like to put on Christ in baptism, please come forward as we stand and sing.